Let's take our Bibles this morning and Proverbs chapter 10. And last week we started Proverbs chapter 10. And honestly, Proverbs chapter 10 could go on for several more weeks. And we're going to be in this chapter again today. But after today, I'm not sure if the Lord will have me to continue in chapter 10 to move on to chapter 11. But either way, it's good stuff. And chapter 10, as I told you last week, is a chapter of contrast. And you see the conjunction but in chapter 10. God's is contrasting a couple ideas. And last week we talked about the wise son and the foolish son. We contrasted those two. We contrasted the treasures of the wicked and the righteous. We contrasted the soul of the righteous and the substance of the wicked, the slack hand and the diligent hand, and the wise son and the son that causes shame. Those are the things we talked about last week, so we'll look at a few more this week. Let's pray and we'll get started. Lord, we love you. Thank you for Sunday school. Thank you, Lord, for Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts now as we open the book of Proverbs and teach us some things, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's take a look, first of all, at verse 6 this morning. Let's get right into it. The Bible says this, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 6, blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. And the first contrast the Lord's going to show us here in verse 6 is the head of the just contrasted with the mouth of the wicked. Now let's look at that phrase for a minute, head of the just. Now, notice here what God links to a just person, and that is blessings. And if there's one thing we see through the book of Proverbs is that God promises, and not just Proverbs, but the whole Bible, God promises blessings to those that obey Him. Now, blessings basically just mean, if you want a base definition, blessings just mean the favor of God. And I've said this before, but folks, listen, I want God's favor on my life, okay? And if you go throughout the Bible and chase that word bless or blessing or blessings, that's mentioned a lot. And listen, you know what? God does want to bless His children. And He wants to bless your life, folks. And He wants to pour out His favor and His blessings upon you. But you know what? That's not dependent upon God. That's dependent upon us. Okay? Hey, you can have the blessing of God or you can't have the blessing of God. It all depends how much you want to obey. So we find, first of all, here that blessings is connected to this phrase, head of the just. Now, that word just, you look that word up and it means lawful, it means righteous. Now, salvation is included in this, but as we've already taught before and established in other places, not every saved person may be living a righteous life. Okay, you can be saved but not be living righteously. So when God here is referring to the just, the meaning is beyond salvation, although salvation is the beginning part of it. By the way, you're not going to live a righteous life unless you're saved, amen? And you got to begin with salvation. But it refers to someone who's not just saved, but someone who is living the way God would want for them to live. Speaking of an obedient Christian here. Now, I thought it interesting that God didn't just say that blessing would be upon the just. That's not what He says. He says specifically, there's a specific part that God's going to give blessing to. And by the way, we all believe that all scriptures is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Okay? God on purpose uses every single word in the right in the right place He wants it to be in. Okay? And if you begin, as you study the Bible, to realize that and understand that, that's going to help you a little bit. Okay? But here, he says in this passage that blessing is upon the head of the just. Now, that word head, it's referring to the physical part of your body. I mean, if you look that up, it's the same word that's used in other places where it's talking about the physical part of your body, which is your head. Now, when you think of your head, okay, what's the main part that makes up your head? All right, you know what it is? It's your brain, okay? It's what you think with. And so the principle here is that the promise of God or the blessings of God will be upon the mind of a righteous person. That's what he's trying to tell us here, that the blessings of God will be upon the mind of a righteous person. Now, have you ever been around someone who just seems to think clearly and has a sharp mind? Now, I'm not just talking about someone who's book smart, but who has a good variety of common sense in a lot of areas. Now, I believe that that's referring to that. And by the way, let me just say this. If you're living for the Lord and you're right with God, God will bless you and help you when it comes to the things of life to think properly. Okay? I mean, hey, listen, folks, there's a connection between the spiritual world and the physical world. There's a connection with that. And I promise you this, if you live for the Lord, God's going to bless your physical body. Now, let me just say, it doesn't mean if you don't have perfect health that God's not blessing you. That's not what it's talking about here, okay? But I will just say this, God will touch your physical body with blessing if spiritually you're what you ought to be, okay? But I believe that God takes it a step further here. Because God always distinguishes between godly wisdom and worldly wisdom. I believe that the deep meaning of this blessing upon the head of the just is this. I believe that God will bless your mind to think properly when it comes to spiritual things. I think that God wants us with our minds to be able to think spiritually in a proper way. By the way, let me just say this. I think sometimes it may be harder to comprehend things on a spiritual level than even on a natural one. I mean, listen, folks, you know what the disciples talked about when they heard some of Jesus' teachings? They would say, man, that's a hard saying. They would say that. Because let me just say this, you know, God's way of thinking, lots of times, most of the time, is completely opposite of man's way of thinking. Okay? And if you're really going to be a spiritual person, you got to be able to think spiritually. You got to be able to look at things from God's point of view and the way God thinks about things. Okay? Let me just read to you a passage here. You don't have to flip to it. But here's what the Bible says when it came to Jesus and the way he thought. All right? Pretty famous passage of scripture back in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Here's what it says. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So right off the bat, God says, it's a command here. I want you to think the way Jesus thought. Okay? And God says, as a Christian, you need to have the same mind that Christ had. And by the way, he's going to give us an example here of Christ thinking. Here's what he says. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, this thought process that led Jesus Christ to do what he did, hey, you know what? It didn't make a lot of sense to the people that were living around him. Even his disciples didn't really comprehend and weren't really thinking spiritually the way that they should have thought when it came to this. Okay? By the way, Jesus lots of times had to rebuke his disciples for not thinking spiritually. Let me just read to you one of these passages here. In Matthew chapter 16, then Jesus saying to them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Okay? Jesus was trying to teach them a spiritual lesson. He wanted them to be able to think spiritually. Here's what they said. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, is it because we have taken no bread? Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? You know what he's saying? He's saying, why are you thinking amongst yourselves and why aren't you thinking and getting what I'm trying to teach you? Do you not understand? Neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets ye took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that you do not understand that I speak to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You see, Jesus here was trying to get his disciples to think in a spiritual way. And let me tell you something, folks. When it comes to this life, okay, if you're going to survive as a Christian, you've got to learn to think spiritually. Because let me just say this. Not everything that happens to us in life can be comprehended with the natural mind. And if you don't look at things in a spiritual way, listen, you're not going to comprehend. You're going to miss things that God wants you to get. God wants you to learn if you don't think spiritually. You say, well, how do I do that? Well, you do that by having God bless your mind. That's how you do it. Okay? And by the way, if you will live the best of your ability, a righteous life, and obey the things God wants you to obey, then you know what? God promises blessing upon your mind. Okay? So the head of the just, All right, God promises blessings to the head of the just. Now, that is contrast. By the way, we could spend more time on that, but we're going to keep moving. God contrasts the blessing upon the head of the just with the mouth of the wicked. That's the contrast there, okay? It says this, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Now, just as blessings were known to be part of the life of a just man, violence is known in the life of the wicked. Now that word violence doesn't just mean what you think it means when you hear the word violence, okay? You think of violence, you think of fighting, you think of cruelty. But that word means this, it means unjust gain, it means damage, it means oppressor, okay? Now notice here, that unlike the just man who is known for his head or his mind, guess what the wicked man is known for? No big surprise. You know what it is? It's his mouth. All right? That's what the wicked man is known for, is his mouth. Whereas the just man thinks about things because of the blessing of God in his life, the wicked man runs his mouth. That's what the wicked man does. Now, I'm going to make a statement here based upon Bible principles. Here it is. A person who can't control their mouth is not right with God and has a major spiritual problem. I'm not just saying that. There's Bible to back up that statement. You know the problem is? Here's a spiritual problem, okay? A person who can't control their mouth, who can't control their tongue, is always using their mouth for things that are opposite of the Word of God, okay? Here's the spiritual problem. They're either, number one, backslidden, or number two, they're not saved. Because I'm just saying this, a spiritual Christian does not use this thing constantly in a wrong manner. Now that doesn't mean that you're occasionally not going to say something you shouldn't say. Hey, you know what? Been there, done that. My hand's up. And you know what? Y'all been there, done that. Your hands ought to be up too. Because we've all at times, and sometimes, maybe even this week, maybe even today already, have used this thing in a way we shouldn't use it. Okay, and God knows that, and that's not the principle he's teaching here, because notice what he says here. He says, violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Now, that word covereth, you know what it means? It means to plump. It means to fill up. Okay, it's kind of like, sometimes these kids around here, all right, my kids included. My kids, I think they think candy is the next food group, okay? The next major food nutrition or whatever. I mean, you've seen them before. The mouth all filled up with candy. They got the suckers, the taffy, the lollipop, or the Tootsie Rolls all going on, Their mouth is filled up, okay? It's plump. It's filled, okay? And what he's talking about, the wicked here, is that their mouth is filled up. It's plump with wickedness. Okay? Now, we're all going to at times say things we shouldn't say. Okay? But there's a difference between occasionally saying something you shouldn't say, maybe getting in the flesh a little bit, and doing things you shouldn't do, and the difference between your mouth constantly being plump filled with wickedness. There's a whole different thing there. In fact, let me just read you some scriptures here, what God has to say about the mouth of the wicked. Okay? Here's what he says in Psalm. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. Now notice here, David here is talking about the enemies. Okay? For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue. Okay, so you got a person here who is using their mouth for wrong. Okay, and here's the prayer that David offers up to the Lord. Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsel. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. Okay, listen, you don't find any good said in the scripture about someone who uses their mouth for wickedness. There's no good thing said about it. In fact, you know what you find out about it? The judgment of God upon their life. Okay, here's another passage. Psalm 12, verse 3 and 4. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things, who have said, with our tongue will we prevail, our lips are our own, who is Lord over us? And so you know what the Bible says here? You know what God's going to do? You know what God thinks about flattering lips and a proud tongue? He's going to cut it out. He's going to cause that proud tongue to fall. I don't know about you, but hey, listen, God's against that kind of stuff. Proverbs 6, verse 17, a pretty famous passage here. I think we even talked about this before. But on the list of abominations is this, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. Now, how can we know that a person Why is that? How do we know? How can that statement be backed up that a person with the mouth of wickedness is either backslidden or not saved? Well, it's backed up because Jesus said this in Matthew 12:34, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." That's why. The reason if a person has a mouth problem, it's because they have a heart problem. And that heart is either not born again or it's severely backslidden. Okay? So folks, listen, what am I trying to say here is this, all right? When it comes to our mouth, all right, the thing that God gave us to use to speak and communicate with, all right, it shouldn't be, there should not be wickedness found in it. Okay? And if we at times find ourselves, like we all do sometimes, using our tongue for wrong, then you know what? We need to immediately get right with God. It's a sin when we use our mouth for wrong. Oh, no, that's just how I'm wired. Well, you know what? Then it's sinful is what it is. Okay? I've heard so many crazy excuses why people think they have the right just to spout off anything they want. I'm going to tell you, I'm sorry, folks, but it's sin. It's wrong. Okay? It's against the Lord. I heard this illustration. In fact, Brother Castle, one time I heard him give this illustration. I never heard this before. I thought it was very, very interesting. One day back in, I forget the date, but several decades ago, there was a young man named John who went to Sunday school for the first time. And this young man named John wasn't dressed like the other kids. He didn't smell like the other kids. And you could tell he wasn't like the other kids. He didn't have parents to take care of him. And he went to this Sunday school and as sometimes kids who don't have any training do, disrupted a little bit. And as he was leaving Sunday school, as he was coming around the corner, he heard his Sunday school teacher conversing, his Sunday school teacher conversing with another woman of the church, just talking down John and how bad he was and how he didn't look right and how he didn't smell right and how she hoped he never came to her Sunday school class again. And that boy named John walked out of Sunday school and by his own testimony, never even gave a thought to go back to church again because of what that Sunday school teacher said about him. And lo and behold, his last name was Dillinger, John Dillinger. And John Dillinger, that famous criminal who committed horrible acts and murdered people, I wonder if maybe a Sunday school teacher hadn't used her mouth for wickedness, if that story would have turned out completely different. I don't know, but that was John Dillinger's testimony. That as a boy, because that happened to him, he shut God out of his life for as long as he lived. Now, here's the thing, folks, all right? We just don't know, all right? So we got to make sure that we're not using our mouth for wickedness. So the just man here is known for his thinking. The wicked man is known for the bad things that come out of his mouth, all right? That was the first contrast. Let's look at the second one here. Back to Proverbs chapter 10, verse 7. I like this one. This is a really neat one here. Here's what he says. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. Now, God's not done contrasting the just and the wicked here. He takes it a step further here. All right? The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. I thought it interesting that not only is the just man have blessings while he's alive on this earth, okay? God promises blessings for the just man as he lives, but also his memory is blessed after he's gone. Now, most of the time, when you remember something, you remember it because it's linked to your past. Okay? If you have a memory, it's something that's probably happened previously that you're thinking about. All right? I read this illustration about D.L. Moody. Let me read it to you. The great evangelist D.L. Moody was challenged by a British preacher named Henry Varley, who said, "Moody, the world is yet to see what God will do with the man fully concentrated to him." Moody resolved this: "By God's help, I aim to be that man." It's estimated that 100 million people heard Moody preach as he traveled across America and England with the gospel. Thousands came to faith in Christ through Moody's meetings. As he approached the end of his life, he viewed heaven as something to anticipate. Here's what he said: "Someday you'll read in the papers that D.L. Moody of East Northfield is dead. Don't believe a word of it. At that moment, I shall be more alive than I am now.
I shall have gone up higher, that is all out of this old clay tenement, to a house that is immortal, a body that death cannot touch, that sin cannot taint, a body fashioned like unto his glorious body. I was born of flesh in 1837. I was born of the Spirit in 1856. That which is born of the flesh may die. That which is born of the Spirit will live forever. And here we are more than 100 years after the death of Moody, remembering him as a powerful servant of God because he lived in obedience to God and his word. And when you think of D.L. Moody, you know what? You have blessed memories of a man that gave himself to God. Now, what a great illustration of the memory of the just when you think of D.L. Moody. But you know what? He's not the only one. I can't help but think of our very own of Blessed Old Baptist Church that have gone on to their reward, that when we think back, because of the life they lived and gave their lives to the Lord, they have a blessed memory. I was thinking about some people as I was studying for this. I thought about Brother Ali. And I thought about in my own memory as I thought of Brother Ali as a teenager at Blessed Oak Baptist Church, how he got me and taught me how to usher and was always there making sure I was in my place. I think of him. What a blessed memory. I think of Brother Dallas Moore. And I think of Brother Moore when I was just a junior age boy taking me to the very first camp I ever went to. And then because of the death of my grandmother and the way the circumstances worked out, him and Mrs. Moore took me up to Bible college. And I have great memories of Brother Dallas. In fact, Brother Dallas would always tell me this. He said he never wore a watch because at his age, time didn't really matter to him anymore. He didn't have to live his life by a clock. And I thought, man, that'd be cool to be able to do that. And good memories of Brother Dallas Moore. I thought of Sister Mary Berger, and I thought of the times we used to go and sing to her and Brother Harold Christmas carols, and what a blessing she was. I thought of Brother Bill Chesser, and when I was a teenager going soul winning with Brother Bill, and other times working on a roof with Brother Bill, because he was a roofer, and how he taught me things. I thought of Brother Tom Clay, and seeing him down at his shop down here at the corner, and taking my car to have him get fixed down there. I thought of Sister Ruthie, how she used to, when I was in elementary school, at that time we would actually make lunch here. And Sister Ruthie would make school lunches, and she made the best bean burritos I ever had. And I thought about her, and I thought about Sister Ruthie, even up in her older years, as long as she could. She was a monitor here at the school. I thought of Brother Ron Allen and the true meaning of a changed life, and that God can use anybody. I thought of my grandpa, Bo Eichelman, and how the things he taught me, how to hunt, how to love people, and have a genuine desire to serve the Lord. I thought of my grandma, Dolores Eichelman, about the love that only a grandma can have for her grandson. I thought of my grandpa, Eric Reiser, and how it's more important to serve the Lord than anything else in my life. I thought of my grandmother, Betty Reiser, who taught me the lesson that I'm the only Bible that some people will ever read. I thought of Brother Tuffy McDonald, who passed away when I was just 9 years old. But I remember back when I was just eight, how he coached the basketball team here at the school, and we had one. And he taught me that to learn and never quit at anything. I thought of Brother Renus Wagner, who taught me that no job is too small when it comes to serving the Lord. And for many years, he was the faithful man that ran the Tate ministry and the PA ministry. And then, of course, I thought about our dear Pastor Ross, and too many things to list. I mean, I think every time I preach, I tell you something he taught me. And I promise you this, I would not be where I am today without the influence he had in my life. As I list these names and thought about these people, and you think about people in your life, you know what? You experienced the same thing I just experienced. You know what that was? Blessedness. You know why? Because these people just decided, you know what? In my life, I'm going to do my best to live for the Lord. And because of that, you know what they have? A blessed memory. A blessed memory. And it kind of goes back to verse that talks about Abel, and I believe it's in the book of Hebrews, where it says, he being dead yet speaketh. And you know, let me tell you what we can learn from this too, folks, is this. We too, as we live our lives, are creating the memory that people will one day have of us. Right now, as you live your life, you're creating the memory that someone's going to have of you one of these days. I hope your desire is to leave behind the blessed memories of a love for God, a passion for souls, being a servant, loving others, being faithful, being loyal to your God, your church, and your family. All of us are in the process, by the way we live our life, creating the legacy for which we will one day be known for. And I promise you this, folks,
When we're gone, when all of us are gone, the generation comes up behind us, whenever our time's up, we're going to be remembered by something. What's that going to be? Well, you know what? You have the power to determine that by right now living your life for the Lord. That doesn't mean you've got to be perfect. I'm so glad God never set the standard at perfection. Because if He did, we'd all be in trouble, amen? The standard has never been perfection, never will be perfection. God knows that. But here's the thing. Are you living your life for the Lord? Are you trying to do what He wants? Are you striving? Are you moving in that right direction? Well, you're leaving a legacy behind. And the name of the wicked, the memory of the just is blessed. Now, God contrasts that with this. The name of the wicked shall rot. Now, that word name there, if you look that word up, it means a mark or memorial of an individual. It's not just referring to what they're called by. It's referring to something they're remembered by. That word wicked, of course, we know what that word means. It means morally wrong. It means a bad person. And that word rot, it means to decay as by being eaten of worms. That's what that means. So here's the principle. People that choose to live a wicked life, okay? By the way, for whatever reason that we sometimes can't comprehend, God allows people to live their life the way they want to and seemingly get away with it for a while. That's just the way God allows it to happen, okay? Because of His mercy and God's long-suffering, and God puts up with wickedness many a times. But let me just say this. But just as with the righteous, guess what? Wicked men also die also. And you know what? When they're gone, their memory won't be the same as a person that has lived a righteous life. Won't be the same. I mean, hey, when you think of the word rot, we think of something that stinks and is no good. And and by the way, that certainly is the case. Have you ever, ladies or even guys, you know, you go to the refrigerator and open up that container and hasn't realized it's been in there longer than a few days? I mean, in fact, this is crazy. Just this week, I found a container in the refrigerator back here in the office that's been in there for about 2 years of mine. And so I didn't even open it. I just threw it away, okay? I didn't even want to imagine what was in that thing, all right? So my wife hasn't missed a container for 2 years. She's not going to miss it now, all right? I mean, hey, if something is left and it's not taken care of, you know what it's going to do? It's going to rot. I remember that story Pastor always tells of when he was pastoring in Brazil, and that time when he plugged a refrigerator into the outlet that was controlled by the light switch, and every time he'd go out, he'd turn that light switch off, and it was Communion Sunday, and let's just say that the wine, that the grape juice was more wine than grape juice that day, all right? And he tells us that story, and it's something that was rotted, okay? And then, of course, when we think of the word rot, we think about that. But not only does it mean that, but, you know, here's the thing. What other characteristic do you think about when you think of something that rots? Well, here's what I think about. When something is rotten, eventually it goes away and is forgotten about. When something's rotten. I mean, hey, if there's a carcass left from a dead animal or something like that, eventually that carcass decays and it's gone. It disintegrates back into the soil and it's gone. There's nothing left. Now notice, I thought it was interesting here, that God doesn't say that the memory of the wicked shall rot. That's not what He says, okay? Because let me just say this. For the most part, not too many people remember much about people who have lived their life for wickedness. Now, I'm not saying there are some infamous villains out there that we think about and we'll never forget the things they've done. But the majority of the time, when someone has lived their life for wickedness, you know what? That because there's nothing good to remember them by, they're quickly forgotten. Now, once again, I don't think this has a temporal meaning, but I also believe there is an eternal one. In fact, I know there's eternal meaning to this. You see, one day after the great white throne judgment, when all of the lost of all ages is cast in a lake of fire, something very, very interesting happens in heaven. Let me read this verse to you. Revelation 21, verse 4, "And God shall wipe away," speaking to the people in heaven, "all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." By the way, this is a very positive thing. Praise the Lord that those tears and that death and that sorrow and that crying and pain is all wiped away. Let me tell you something else I believe is wiped away. The memory of those that we knew while we were on earth that are forever in hell. I believe God wipes it all away. It's all gone. By the way, if he didn't, then you know what? I mean, if someone knew that a loved one was in hell, how could you function and enjoy eternity? You couldn't. And God's going to wipe that all away, and it's forever gone, never to be remembered. Now, when it comes to our actions on earth, are they going to be summed up as memories of the just, or will our name be the rotting name of the wicked? All right, so I thought that was an interesting contrast. And then last of all, let's look at this last one in verse 8. Here's what he says. The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. The first thing God talks about here is the wise in heart. Now, once again, God names a specific part of a person that's wise. Okay? Just like he talked about the head of the just, here he talks about the heart of the wise. Now, we've already defined before that when the Bible refers to the heart, it's not just referring to that muscle that beats in your chest, okay, that pumps your blood. The heart, when you look up that word, it has three meanings. It means your mind, it means your will, it means your emotions. And the Bible talks about the heart of man, he's referring to the way a man thinks, the way a man feels, and the attitude a man has. That's that's what the Bible refers to when he refers to the heart here. Okay? Now, I believe what's being taught is this. Okay? Let me read what it says. The wise in heart will receive commandments. That word commandments there, you look that up, it's referring to the Word of God is what it's referring to. So the Bible says that the wise in heart will receive the Word of God. Okay, now once again, guess what we see here? How that wisdom is directly related to the Word of God. I mean, have you noticed that pattern? Almost every week when we talk about wisdom, what's synonymous with wisdom? What do we have to have in order to have godly wisdom? We've got to have the Word of God. Okay, by the way, folks, get this, understand this. It's a basic of the Christian life. But you will never have true wisdom. You'll never amount anything for God if you don't have a relationship with the Word of God. It's synonymous with being successful in the Christian life, your relationship to the Bible. And if you just have this casual, nonchalant, take it or leave it attitude with the Bible, you're not going to be a successful Christian. And you will not have wisdom. The wisdom is related to your relationship with the Word of God. Now here's the thing, what's being taught is this, if you receive the Word of God, your mind, your will, and your emotions will be controlled by wisdom. If you receive the Word of God, then that part of you, that inner part of you that you think with, you feel with, and your attitude will be controlled by wisdom. I've heard people say this. I've even heard Christians say this before. Well, I just can't help the way I think about that. Or I just can't help having that kind of attitude. Or I just can't help feeling that way. Well, according to the verse we just read, by making that statement, you know what you're saying? You're saying your relationship is not necessarily right with the Word of God. That's what God's saying here. Because he's saying this. Look, if your relationship's right, then God's going to bless your mind, your will, and your emotions with wisdom, and you will think properly, you'll feel properly, and you'll have the right attitude. Now, let me just say this. Are we all going to hit those marks every time? Absolutely not. Okay? But here's what I found out in my life. When I get to the point where my thinking's off, my feelings are off, and my attitude is off, I could always trace it back to a failing in my life when it comes to the Word of God. Always. Because I'm going to tell you this, folks. If you have a relationship with the Word of God and you get it down inside of you and you have a real meaning relationship with God, let me tell you something. It will affect the way you think. It will affect the way you feel. It will affect your attitude. I promise you it will. In fact, I don't promise you. God promises you that. Listen to this verse. We quote this verse often, but I don't think we really understand the depth, the meaning of this verse. Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We say that a lot. We say it's our sword, but listen to what it does. Piercing, even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and the marrow, as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know what he's saying there? The Word of God will change your insides. I promise you it will. And I mean this. I'm not just saying this. I mean, you go through a time where the devil attacks your thinking, the devil attacks your attitudes, and the devil attacks your emotions. The best thing you can do is immerse yourself in the Word of God. Immerse yourself in it. I mean, I will say this. The book of Psalms is a spiritual medicine cabinet. I mean, you just go to that book and you just read it and you read it and you read it. And even sometimes you're not even comprehending what you read. You keep reading it. You keep reading it. And I promise you, your heart's going to start burning. And God's going to start doing something inside of you. You know why? Because the Bible is a supernatural book. That is why. All right, so that's what he's talking about when he talks about the wise in heart. Now listen, folks, I want my heart, I want my mind, I want my will, I want my emotions to have wisdom. And if I'm going to do that, I've got to involve, I've got to keep the commandments. I've got to have a relationship with the Word of God. Now, real quick, we're almost done. Notice what he compares the wise in heart to. The wise in heart is compared to a prating fool. Now, that word prating is only used 3 times in the Bible. It's used right here, in the verse we just read. And it's also used down in verse 10 of chapter 10. It says, but a prating fool shall fall. The exact same statement, a prating fool shall fall. And then you find the word prating used in 3 John verse 10. Here's what he says. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deed, talking about Diotrephes here, his deeds which he hath done, prating against us with malicious words. That word prating, fool. Okay? In every verse in the Bible, you see the word prating, it means the same thing. It means this, talking without boundaries. That's what the word prating means. Once again, do you see the pattern here? You see what the fool is known for using? He's known for using his mouth. Now, listen, folks. I mean, constantly running your mouth without any kind of boundaries will make you a fool. I mean, just say anything you want. Anything that pops in your mind, you just say it. Oh, I have the right to say what I want to say. Freedom of speech. I'll just say it. Well, you can say it, but you know what you're defining yourself as? According to the Bible, you're defining yourself as a fool. Here's what Pastor Ross used to say. I tell our young people this all the time, all right? And you've heard it before, but it's a great illustration, okay? God has given you a double protection system for your tongue, okay? It's called your teeth. Then it's called your lips. All right? And if it's a situation comes up and you want to spout something off, lock your tongue down. Kind of hard to understand me when my teeth and lips are blocking my tongue. No, you can't understand what I'm saying very well. You know why? Because the tongue's locked down. It's in the teeth and behind the lips. Okay? He always says this. Why do you think God gave you 2 ears and 1 mouth, 1 tongue? You know why? Because we're supposed to listen twice as much as we're supposed to talk. Okay, and I don't think it's a coincidence within a couple verses, once again, God emphasizes the result of a foolish man yakking his jaws, talking without boundaries. Okay, and God, man, there's so much here, okay? I mean, the book of Proverbs, other ways you can study the book of Proverbs is by looking up subject matter and just going out and following the subject through the book of Proverbs. And I'm going to tell you something. If there's one subject that we all could probably use a good study on, it's when it comes to the use of our mouth. Okay? And here's the result. What the Bible say is the fate of a prating fool, of a person who just talks without boundaries. You know what it is? He shall fall. Now, it doesn't say he might fall or has a good chance of falling. But you know what? The very matter of fact, the scripture says in a very matter of fact way, he shall fall. By the way, same shall that we use in Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall, matter of fact, call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. Hey, when we're given the plan of salvation, we emphasize how shall and how certain and how that's definitely going to be. Well, you know what God says here? You know what the result of a prating fool is going to be? He shall, matter of fact, fall. He shall fall. So wisdom starts in the heart and foolishness starts with the tongue. All right? So let's just keep that in mind. Okay, very good. That's as far as we're going to go today. And man, I tell you, there's so much here. I was telling my wife last night, I mean, every time I crack open the book of Proverbs, I mean, it's just one thing leads to another and leads to another. And I mean, literally, you could spend lots of time studying this book, but we'll be done for today. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for all you've done. I pray that you'd bless us now. Thank you for Proverbs. God, help us, Lord, to have wisdom. God, we need it. Lord, help us to live our lives in a righteous way and help us, Lord, to have the right relationship with your word. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.